Hey everybody, welcome to Ref Time, powered by RTS and produced by Coraggio Media. I'm Tanya.
And I'm Crane. We'll be covering rules, plays, points of emphasis, and all things official. And we're back with Ref Time with another guest in the studio, good friend of ours, Dr. Ron Lewis, the man, the myth, the legend. How you doing?
And also a twin.
I am. Identical twin brother, 13 minutes apart. What up, man?
Which one of y'all the oldest?
He's the oldest.
He's the oldest.
Yeah, okay. 13
So you're the baby.
Out. I'm the baby. Mm. Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Where is he still in St. Louis?
St. Louis. He's assistant superintendent of a school district out there.
Okay.
And
for some reason, I thought he was the actual superintendent.
Nope. Assistant.
Does he want to be the actual superintendent?
I don't think so. Okay. At least not right now. He's comfy.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you hail from St. Louis.
Hail from St. Louis, man. The show me state. played college basketball. From there, I went to Merrimack Community College for 2 years.
Now, let me back up, because you and your brother played together in high school?
High school, yeah.
But not in college?
Yes and no. Yes, we played almost at the same time, but he injured his knee his sophomore year, redshirted. I played my sophomore year, transferred to Barry, and then he came a year later.
To Barry?
To Barry in Miami, Florida, yeah.
How long did you guys play together in Barry?
1 year.
Okay.
Because then I graduated while he was still playing. I was in grad school at the time.
So how has that been playing with the one person you probably know the most or the best in the world? How's it playing next to him?
It was okay. I mean, I won't even lie to you. It wasn't like it was so overly exciting, because honestly, I played more. So we didn't, in high school, we played together a lot.
Okay.
But even in college, our freshman year, I started, he didn't. There were very few times where we were, you know, doing screening roles for each other.
Okay. Mm.
It wasn't like that at all.
Was the reason he didn't play as much as you, was that because of his injury and he just lost a little bit, or?
No, he was afraid. If he was here, he would tell you. And that's what a lot of people, I think a lot of young athletes, when they work on their game, they don't work on their minds. So they get so afraid that they make mistakes, and you make mistakes, you don't play, and you don't play, you get frustrated. And it wasn't to that extreme with my brother, but I kind of got out of my shell quicker, which allowed me to play a little bit more. And from there, you know.
So when you say he was afraid, you just mean he was reserved and didn't just let his game go?
Yeah, okay. He just didn't let it go. I mean, just didn't want to make mistakes.
Oh, okay.
So it just took him a while to kind of get out the shell.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got out of mine my sophomore year. And, yeah, so I think that was the biggest difference. Why, even at Barry, we just didn't play a lot at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did he find that if he made a mistake, like the coach would pull him, and that would kind of discourage him, and that's why he didn't want to make mistakes? And so,
yeah, and I was like that as well.
Okay.
You don't want to make the mistake. You don't want to make the, theoretically, you don't want to make the coach upset.
Right.
And you don't want to get pulled. But you're going to get pulled because you're so afraid and you're not contributing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lose-lose.
And you're going to make mistakes. It's part of the game.
It is.
So.
It is. And we didn't, I guess my brother and I, really didn't figure that out. I figured it out earlier than him. I just stopped caring. You know, I just stopped caring to the sense of, mm-hmm. this is just the deal. Mm-hmm. Just what you do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I remember that, too, being in college. I mean, mm-hmm. I didn't figure that out in high school. But in college, I just, you know, I just decided I'm just going to go for it.
Well, I remember watching us, you know, watching Reggie go through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had a high school coach that, you know, it was like if you made a mistake, I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
he'd sit you and you wouldn't get back in the game. And it was almost like, okay, but you got to put them back in so they, you know, they learn.
Yeah.
But just watching him go through, you know, those trials and tribulations. Mm-hmm. But, you know, then he had another coach that would put him out on the floor and be like, shoot it. Like, shoot it. If you're not going to shoot the ball, I'm going to sit you.
That was right. EV.
Yeah.
Did you remember EV?
I know.
Yeah,
he would tell Reggie. He told me, he said, Cram, tell you right now, if your son doesn't shoot the ball, I'm benching him.
Yeah.
He said,
yeah.
I said, did you tell him? He goes, yeah. I said, I'm going to tell him too. And then Reggie mm-hmm. had a chance to go out of town and play in an AAU tournament mm-hmm. with him.
Yep.
He came back and says, Dad. I mean, he was so excited about scoring.
Because somebody actually encouraged him to shoot the ball.
Shoot the ball.
100%.
Right.
Yeah.
And but so he didn't get that in high school.
No.
Yeah. Yeah,
that coach wanted certain people to shoot the ball.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're on that end of the stick, you're good. And if you're not on, if you're on the opposite end of the stick, it sucks. And so in high school, I didn't really have that issue. I didn't really get a lot of playing time until my senior year. We had a really, really good team. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get a lot of playing time until my senior year. And then from there, I went to Merrimack. And I never forget, I was at a Mizzou camp. We did a Mizzou camp every summer going into the new season. Mm-hmm. Well, at this point, we went to state my junior year, and all of those people are gone.
Your team went to state?
Yep, wow. We went to state. I didn't play.
But
I went to
get that clear.
I just want to make
sure. Hey, you contributed though.
In practice.
Got the That's team what ready. I'm saying. Practice.
Yeah, in practice, I was that guy.
Yeah.
And I never forget. I'm in the bathroom at Mizzou camp, University of Missouri, Columbia, Missouri, and my coach called me Lulu. He says, "Lulu, this is not equal opportunity out here," and walked away. And that let me know right there, oh, it's game time.
You got to go for it.
We're about to work.
Yeah.
And we end up giving them boys business. So, but it's still, for my brother, I think he was still trying to find his mental way in basketball. I mean, he had the same skill. I mean, he could jump a little bit, even he could jump a little bit higher, but I was just a little more arrogant in myself.
And probably more aggressive.
Yeah. I have a more aggressive personality than him anyway. So
And I guess some people would call it kind of more, I don't know the word, but just more stuck on ourselves. And people would call it that. Mm-hmm. But I think in competitive sports, you have to think highly of yourself, especially the higher level you play at. You
For
have
sure.
to, because if you don't, they'll eat you alive.
They will. Mm-hmm. They will. And as I kickbox today and train like that and you spar, and that's – so it's funny because we're talking about this, and so basketball, I feel very comfortable. But as I enter this new phase of life or a new sport, I have to relearn confidence. I have to relearn it like almost from scratch, you know.
And what's your new sport?
Boxing, kickboxing. I love doing that. And I love it just because I don't play basketball anymore. Mm-hmm. That doesn't excite me. Because, I mean, what I'm going to do at 42, go back and watch Kyrie Irving clips. I'm not going to I want to learn something new.
Right.
I'm not going to learn anything new in basketball at this point.
Right.
So,
because you can't implement it even if you learn it.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to implement it in, like, a league. I hate leagues.
Right.
That's the worst. No disrespect to anybody to play a league, but I'm 42. I'm not playing leagues. I play college. I play high school. The only goal for me to play basketball at a certain point was just to go to school. Like, I was in my going into my junior year, and I had the dream of going to the NBA like everyone. Mm-hmm. Well, I've always said that the market will tell you if you can go to the league or not. What's the market? Well, the market is AAU, the circuit. I watched Kareem Rush, who used to play for the Pacers, the Clippers, the Lakers, whose older brother is Gerard Rush, who Jerron Rush played for a team called CMH. And CMH was one of the best teams in Kansas City. And his brother, Jerron, who went to UCLA, played with this guy named Corleone Young, who was a super beast who played for the Detroit Pistons. I'm watching Kareem Rush. His younger brother is Brandon Rush, who played for the Pacers as well. But I'm watching Kareem Rush, who's in my class, 99, drop 47 like it was nothing. I'm like, I'm not going to the NBA. Not happening, bro. That dude was out there giving cats work, and he wasn't sweating. My man was out there gliding with the ball like, chook-a-chook. I'm like, oh, my, it's not happening. It literally switched my whole perspective.
He said he dropped 47 like it was nothing.
In the AAU game, best players in the country at that big-time tournament.
He said that was reality
check. That was it, bro. That was it. I knew it wasn't going
to
happen.
I used to have young kids ask me, "Mr. Hearn, how come you didn't go try to play for the league?" I just looked at them and laughed. I said, "Look, one thing I learned coming out of college, I wasn't willing to work that hard." They go, "Man, you lazy. You can call it what you want."
Yeah.
Getting up doing them 5 a.m., 6 a.m. Workouts, brother wasn't going to do it. It wasn't no sense of me even thinking I'm going to the league. I want to work that hard.
Yeah.
Not physically anyway.
Yeah, I watched my sister who played D1 at St. Louis University, who played overseas in Germany.
And she played D1.
She played D1.
That's and the people don't that's understand. Work. That's a difference.
It's that's a
D1.
Job.
Yes,
it's a job.
Because what was Barry?
D2 NCAA.
And see, mine was NAIA. Mm-hmm. And people like Reggie. I was telling somebody today, Reggie, when he was in college, he went to Northwestern. Yep. He was like, Dad, come help me work out. What do you mean, son? Mm-hmm. Is it Reggie? You're at a whole different level than I am.
Yeah. Right.
No, Dad, you're not that. No. You don't have to stroke my ego. I played NAIA. You play in Division One.
Yeah,
I can't touch it.
Yeah.
And I can't teach you anything because I don't know anything about that level. It's right. A whole different world.
So another level, man. Whole and different. I never wanted that level.
Neither. I didn't want to work that hard.
I just wanted to go to school for free. That was the whole goal. School for free.
And you got it.
Get my bachelor's. If I was lucky, get a master's. That was it. Game over. So
I love it. When people know exactly what they want and then they go get it. And
it's
done.
Easy to go get it.
Because you say, everybody has that dream. People say, you had that dream of going to the NBA? Not really.
But you had the reality set in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And so that helped to guide you where you needed to
absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And you know, we still have a lot of young people that don't let that reality set in. Like the reality mm-hmm. is there, but they're just ignoring it. Like, oh no, I'm gonna go. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You know. But most likely
we don't
want to
tell
going.
Them that. I don't want to tell them that. But you have to in a way.
Yeah.
Well, I don't. You know, as a professor. I don't want to be a dream crusher.
Correct.
I'm a dream builder.
Correct.
Right? So I'm not a crusher.
Right.
But I do think it's important that we don't fool ourselves thinking that something is a reality when it's less than likely that it can happen.
Right.
Yeah.
So we got to be transparent and put our cards on the table that if you say, oh, I want to be a professional football player,
mm-hmm.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. But let's be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
If you're at a NAIA school. So if anyone's listening, I'm going to lay the cards out for you. You assess where you are. And then you ask yourself, what am I willing to do to get over the hump? And I'm going to tell you what the hump is. So if you're in an NAIA school and or even a D3 or even a D2, the question is, or there's a couple questions. Number one, are there any NFL scouts at your practice? Number two.
First clue.
Number two is, how do you surpass the players that are already nationally recognized?
Mm.
The ones that are already on the radar of the scouts.
Right.
Of the scouts.
Right.
How do you surpass them
mm-hmm.
when the only time you practice is when your team practices?
Mm. Mm.
That was one of the things that we used to tell our kids all the time. We're like, well, what are you doing outside of practice?
100%.
Because... Mm-hmm. Everybody else is showing up at practice too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you doing outside of practice? Because what you do outside of practice is what gets you closer to getting over that hump.
Right.
I'm not going to say get you over the hump, mm-hmm. but it gets you closer to being over that hump.
Because you still got to be seen by the
scouts. You still got to be seen.
So, like Reggie, our son, he is now a scout for the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And him and I talk a little bit. I don't even know who he's looking at, but I know the people he's looking at are already mm-hmm. NBA. Hopefuls.
Well, yeah. Some of them are in the G League.
Right.
And then he's right. looking at some of them that are in college. So, I mean, he's already looking at players that are
already
stars. Yeah.
And a lot of young players don't understand that. And they go, well, can you introduce me to your son? Well, no.
No.
Hey, number one, he's scouting teams. I think the closest he comes to Indiana. He said he has to come down to Illinois.
He was going up to Minnesota.
Minnesota, is that
Yeah, it? I don't know if he was coming to Illinois.
I don't know if he's coming to Illinois. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't even scout over this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that a lot of young people realize the intricacy of professional sports.
Mm-hmm.
Not even college-level sports. They don't
right.
get it.
Correct.
Like I said, I did NAIA. I had zero dreams of going to the NBA. It wasn't even a thought in my mind.
Because mm-hmm.
I knew, like what you're saying, I knew I didn't want to work that hard.
Right.
I knew it. So there was no sense in me even wasting my time thinking about it.
Yeah.
I saw some of the guys I played with who weren't even getting looked at by D1 schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm playing against these guys in intramurals in Indiana State, and this guy just takes off from standing, just go up and dunk. Oh, wow. Okay, I'm going to go over and sit down. I can't do that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to work that hard to learn how. So,
absolutely. Absolutely.
So, all right, let's transition real quick. So
yeah.
So you are a professor.
Yep.
That's your daytime job.
Yeah.
And then you played ball.
Played, yeah.
And I know that a few years ago you started coaching.
Coaching basketball?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And I did intramural team at Ivy Tech, but we traveled.
Okay.
And it was the first time we had a team. We had jerseys, fine referees like yourself there. But we set it all up, and it was fun. I think we did that for 2 years. I did it for 2 years.
But that was an intramural team? I thought that was considered an actual college team for Ivy Tech. Because you guys played intra-squads against other Ivy Tech campuses, right?
And other, like, we played Indiana Tech.
Indiana Tech, St. Francis.
Mm-hmm. Did a little traveling, little bit of, but I was the AD, I was the coach, I was the therapist, I was everything. Mm-hmm. I was everything.
Mm-hmm. And so...
You said you did that for 2 years.
Roughly around 2 years, yeah, okay. I don't remember.
Because I tell people that. Yeah. I was talking to a guy today, and I told him, I said, yeah, my friend Ron, he started a team. They had a men's basketball team in the Ivy Tech. He goes, huh? I said, yeah.
Yeah. So from that... you know, one of the things I told you beforehand, we talk about rules and, you know, we as officials, we get points of emphasis every year where, you know, they want us to look for certain fouls or certain hand checks or certain whatever. Uniform is usually one of those things that we have to take into consideration. But from being a player, from being a coach, are there any rules or pet peeves or things that kind of stick out in your mind from those times when you played and coached?
Well, yes, even now. And, you know, we're having this 3-on-3 tournament.
Yes.
That my sport management class is running. They're running this tournament. And I've already told them, and it's no different than a coach, there is not one player that should be able to talk to referees. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. So one of my students said, you don't watch the NBA. No, I do not. I hate it. I hate it because the communication is lopsided.
Right.
Referees, I'm not pro ref. I'm not pro player. I'm pro balance. So if a referee yells curse at a ref, I'm sorry, if a referee yells curse at a player and or a coach, that ref will be seen unprofessional. That ref will be asked to leave, reprimanded. Players do what we refs are supposed to have tough skin, take it. And it's like, that's imbalanced to me. We're human beings. And in the game, I don't think referees say, hey, man, put some more flick on that jump shot. But yet and still, I have a 9-year-old would tell a referee, hey, you missed a call. Like, stop playing with me.
Right.
What are you talking about? Right. Don't talk to me.
Yeah.
So,
but if they say that to me and then I turn around and say, well, yeah, but what about that free throw you just missed?
Correct.
Now I'm the bad guy.
Correct.
Well, why are you talking to that kid?
Correct.
Why are they talking to an adult?
100%.
Yeah.
But even college players.
Yeah.
Like, stop. Mm-hmm. Stop. My guy, I know you think you're the next best thing. Don't talk to me. So when I was coaching at Ivy Tech, my team, they got reprimanded when they would talk. I said, don't even talk to zebra people. I don't know why you're talking to them.
Right.
They have nothing to do with the game. If they miss a call, so what? You're going to miss a shot. So what? Play the game. Stop saying it's 7-on-5. What are you talking about? The refs don't care. They're not making you miss the shot. They're not making you travel. They're not making you turn the ball over. You're doing that.
Right.
So I never forget, we were playing a game in Warsaw. Team come in frustrated, like the refs are cheating. No, you're cheating. You're cheating. You're not even running the play. We're running. So what does the refs have to do with that? It is one of my biggest pet peeves. And on Thursday, they already know if players are out there talking to the refs, bro, you got to go. You're gone. It's over. Like, it's one of my biggest pet peeves because I believe language is important and I believe respect is important. And you may disagree. You may agree. But if players are talking to refs, I just think refs should be able to talk to players how players talk to refs. That's just me.
No, I like your attitude.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And more importantly, you're not, like you say, you're not pro ref. You just like, this is the communication that should go
it's
down.
It's just a humanity thing, you know?
It is. It just makes sense.
Let's all just get along.
Yeah, because we really don't care who wins.
I don't. And like you said, I'm going to make mistakes, but. The players make mistakes. The coaches make mistakes.
100%. And actually, when you stop and think about it, refs make fewer mistakes. I mean, because people don't realize the time and the effort we have to put into studying the rules and going to meetings and passing tests and going to seminars and camps. They don't realize that we put in all that time. Yeah. We don't get paid for that. So we actually make fewer mistakes than players and coaches. People don't realize that. But I started thinking, I was like, so he missed 14 shots. He took 30-some shots. So his percentage is what it is. I missed. And who's to say I missed the calls? Mm-hmm. I mean, right. I'm in a different position. I may have been blocked out. Maybe I couldn't see it. So it's just.
Yeah.
But we love being refs.
Yeah.
I mean, we absolutely love it. So.
Unfortunately, we've got to wrap up our time
okay.
here.
Okay. Well, then.
But I think that was an excellent way to end our time. I love that. I think I want to put that on repeat.
Please do. Please do. I'll take any heat for it.
But we are going to talk about, real quick, Ref Training School. Obviously, we have reftrainingschool.com
okay.
where those coaches and players and fans that like to officiate from the stands, you can become part of the game. you can put the stripes on. You can either just go to the IHSAA and register, or you can go through a class and actually get trained through us, reftrainingschool.com. You can check that out and get in touch with us in regards to that. We also have our Hoosier 3-on-3 tournament coming up.
I'm so proud of her. She's come so far.
And that is on December 31st. For those that would like to participate, we do have an adult open division. We also have 3rd through 12th grade divisions for boys and girls. You can get more information at Hoosier3on3.com. And with that.
You're just so smooth. This is my partner. I'm so proud.
Come on now.
And it's my partner's birthday today.
Hey, man, happy birthday, young man.
Thank you.
I get confused all the time when I'm on and about. I've had one person. I think I was at a. I forgot
yes,
what
store.
Yes, these
two are twins. They're not.
Man.
But, man.
They're like Crane. I'm like. I know him. I'm not him. I'm like, no.
Look, you even got the goatee. He doesn't have the goatee.
No.
Anymore.
But when I was working at St. Francis,
I did have a goatee.
And people got us. They got us mixed up.
Oh, let me tell you. I was mad that he shaved. Oh, I'm not happy.
She was not happy.
No,
with
not at all.
I had to shave it off.
I'm used to it now, but I did not.
Well, people get us mixed up. I said, no. Ron's the handsome one. He's the handsome
one. That means you look as young as I look. So that's a testament to you, my brother.
It is. People do. They get us mixed up.
They do.
Well, it's better now that he can actually walk since he had his hip surgery.
He did. He had that janky hip. I was telling my wife about that little janky
hip. I can't even get up the stairs.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was rough, brother. It was rough. Yeah,
and with that, we're going to sign out.
A little janky hip.
We have to have you back, Ron, because there's a lot of things we didn't get a chance to talk with you about.
Let's do it, man. Let's make a part 2.
Yeah, we definitely will.
Absolutely.
So hold me to that. We'll have you back. And with that, I want to thank you guys for joining us for another segment of Ref Time. We'll be back next week with another exciting guest. Thanks again, and we'll see you down the line. Thanks again for listening to Ref Time, powered by RefTrainingSchool.com and Hoosier3on3.com. Produced by Coraggio Media, Ref Time is recorded in WELT Studios in beautiful downtown Fort Wayne, Indiana.
To join RTS, visit RefTrainingSchool.com. Please like, subscribe, and share with your friends.
Until next time.